The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Amen. Boy, seems like it's been forever since I've been in the pulpit preaching. Amen. Lord, we've had some good things going on. Whew. You know, Eddie James, Ron DePriest, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, just exciting ministries. We had our life group kick off with several of the life group leaders speaking. It's just been good. It's good to see the body of Christ working and pulling together and growing. But I got to tell you, I've got the itch to preach this morning. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you about a message that I've been working on for quite some time. And this will be a series. I know you're not very surprised about that, but once again, I'm going to be sharing a series with you. The way of the Lord. In Proverbs 10:29, it says, "The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." Iniquity is sin, but it's more than just sin. Iniquity is sin that is growing inside of a person. It's something that ends up controlling an individual. Destruction comes to the workers of iniquity. For those who are working to bring about iniquity, destruction will come. But the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. That's your way. It's strength for the upright because you are upright. You are right standing. You have the right standing and righteousness in Jesus Christ before Almighty God. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you are the upright before the Lord. And let me tell you something, you can't work hard enough to be upright. You can't work hard enough to be righteous. You can't work hard enough to be holy enough to stand before an awesome and mighty God that we serve. And yet, everyone who knows Christ as their personal Savior will do exactly that because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's where our righteousness comes from. Now, I'm not going to let you off the hook. That doesn't mean that you don't have responsibility in this thing. You are responsible to live the best possible life you can live, to have morals and be an ethical person, to love and to care for other people, the body of Christ first in the world, to walk in love before all people. But sometimes walking in love means you tell them the truth. And the truth is, if a person does not receive Christ as a personal Savior, their destiny is hell. It's not God's desire. It's not God's design. God created hell for the angels and the devil and the fallen angels. But people are going to go there because they reject God's redemption in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I can't make that more clear this morning. Not from with my vocabulary, I guess. But I want you to know God loves you. He loves you so much that He wants you to be everything He created you to become. And that's more than you think. Much more. Much greater. Your potential is greater than anything you ever imagined. Christ wants to take you and mold you and shape you into a vessel that He can touch the world with. And how He does that is not going to be the same for everybody sitting in here. Some of us are called to the pulpit ministry, to the fivefold, we call it fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Some believe that pastor and teacher are the same office. Doesn't matter. Fivefold, fourfold, I don't care what you call it. It's the ministry of teaching and preaching and sharing the gospel and building up the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is to be equipped for what purpose? According to the Word of God, to do the work of the ministry. If you think Pastor Rob is the only one that's supposed to do the work of the ministry, you are sadly mistaken. The work of the ministry is the body of Christ. We are to be about doing that. Doesn't let me off the hook either. It doesn't mean all I have to do is stand up here on Sunday morning and spout off. It means that I have to do the work of the ministry as well. We all do. But it is high time for the body of Christ to rise up and start doing the work of the ministry. This thing where we just come to church, we get entertained by a great speaker and a great music and we feel good when we walk out the doors, that is not what church is all about.
Yes, sir.
The church is to be an army. It was created to become an army, to go forth and do the work of the kingdom. The work of the enemy's kingdom is all around us. It's flourishing. Watch some news and you will see the enemy kingdom flourishing. Where's God's kingdom? Well, we're hiding out in these four walls. Now, I didn't bring you here. I didn't invite you here this morning to beat you up. So I don't want you to think that that's what I'm doing. I want to encourage you to know that you're a warrior. You're a warrior for Christ. You're an ambassador, and wherever you go, you take the kingdom with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to connect people to the kingdom of God. And when you get connected to the kingdom of God, it opens so many doors. It causes you to be enlightened. It causes you to see things that you were unable to see before. It causes you to be able to understand things that you were unable to understand. When I tried to read the Bible before I got saved, it didn't make any sense to me. But when I received Christ as my personal Savior, it was enlightened. I could open it up and wow. There it was. It was like it was fluorescent. I could see it. It was dark before, and now it's alive. Praise God. I'm sure you can tell. I haven't preached for a while. Amen. All right. Well, we really need to move on with this message. And, you know, one of the things that I want to make perfectly clear is that salvation is an, you know, that's where it all begins, salvation. Now, if you think that's the end, that's because you have the thinking of the Western world. The Western world thinks that, okay, we just have a big gathering, we have a revival, or we have a crusade, we invite somebody in, like Billy Graham or somebody else that can preach the gospel, the saving of souls, people come to Jesus and that's it. Well, that's not it. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, that's just the beginning. You are just starting on an adventure and a journey that's going to take your whole life. Now, the reason I said that was because I want you to understand that Christians in China pray that the United States will receive some persecution. Because they're tired of seeing Christians that are not doing the work of the gospel, the kingdom work. They believe, just like the Bible teaches, that once you receive Christ as your personal Savior, there is much work ahead. There's much that God wants to do in your life. And here's the problem that I'm seeing in our churches today. And, you know, I'm not picking on all churches. I'm just saying, overall, the body of Christ, their desire is to be entertained. Hallelujah. Come on. Is that right? Yeah, we live in an entertainment society. If I want to be entertained, boom, all I got to do is turn the TV on. If I don't like what's on, I'll change the channel. I'll find something that entertains me. We're doing the same thing with churches. People hop around finding the best church that will entertain them. And when you find the one that entertains you, you get comfortable, sit around, you go to church, you hear the word, you go back home, and that's all there is to it. best message, the best worship, the best children's ministry. And we have all those things here. I'm going to brag a little bit about Bethel Worship Center. We have good things here. But listen, if that's the only reason you come to Bethel Worship Center, you can just leave right now. Because you're not getting what you need. What you need is what Psalm says. Listen to what it says here. This is where I'm going to be teaching from, is actually this scripture. And verse 19, verse 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's the law of the Lord is perfect. I want you to meditate on that just a little bit. Converting the soul. He's not talking about conversion as far as a spiritual conversion. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. In order to be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus that you have to not, it's not like being born of your mother. It's a spiritual birth that he was talking about. And later on, we know the church was birthed through Pentecost, and people became born again. They received Christ as their personal Savior. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They got baptized in water. I'm going to tell you, there was a progression that took place in people's life. These things are all very important for you. But the first step is conversion, of course. I read a story about a barber who got saved in Chicago. And he started going to church and he received Christ as a personal Savior. And he decided he wanted to do more for the Lord. So he went to witnessing classes. And he learned the Roman road to salvation, which if you don't know what that is, there's specific scriptures in Romans that you can follow to lead somebody to the Lord. It's a great way to show somebody that we all need salvation. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we need salvation in Christ. But anyhow, he went to this class. He was ready. He went Monday morning to his shop, and he decided that he was going to witness for the Lord all day. He prayed. He sought God. The first guy came in, and he just got so nervous that he couldn't think. He couldn't remember the scriptures. He couldn't think about what he needed to say. So the guy went out. The rest of the day didn't go much better. He just got nervous. And I'm going to tell you something. If you set out to witness that way, you're going to get nervous. It's a tough way to witness to people. I think lifestyle evangelism is the best way. But anyhow, this is what this guy did. And finally, the end of the day, he said, Lord, I've failed you all day. If you would just bring one more person in to my shop, I will witness for you. And no more than he said that, and this big, burly biker guy walked in the door. He wasn't too happy either because when he came in, he had made a bet with his friends and he lost and he was going to have his head shaped. So the barber, being nervous anyhow, lathered up his head, got this guy ready, went over and started sharpening his blade. And the more he stroked, the more nervous he became, the more he stroked, and finally, the biker started getting a little nervous. His eyes got real big, and the guy, finally, he just dropped it. He turned around with that razor in his hands. He said to this man, are you ready to die? And he ran out, of course. That's not the way we want to convert souls. If any of you have read Ron Dupree's book, Loco, in that book, when he receives Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, now Ron was a wild and crazy, he was a biker guy, he involved with all kinds of crazy stuff going on in his life, drugs, and he bought and sold drugs, said he didn't do a lot of drugs himself because of his position, he just needed to keep a clear head. But when he received Christ, he was supposed to meet somebody on a drug deal the next day. And he went to this restaurant where he was supposed to meet these guys, and he was going to tell them about Jesus. Well, he told them about Jesus, and they didn't really want to hear it, so he beat them up. The one guy decided that was enough for him. He was going to receive Christ. The second guy, he said, no, I'm not going to. So he took him into the bathroom and flushed his head in the commode until he received Christ as a Savior. That's not the way we witness for Jesus. Yeah, that was, yeah, he got saved and water baptized at the same time. Amen. That is crazy, but as you understand that God did a work in Ron. And the reason I tell you that is because that scripture says, the law is perfect for the saving of the soul. Now, what I want to understand is, he's not talking about a spiritual rebirth here. The law, during the time that this was written, was the first five books of that Moses wrote. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those were the books that Moses penned. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That was the law. Now, they may have had some prophets, books of the prophets back when David wrote this. I'm not real sure about that, but I do know this, that the majority of what he was talking about was the first five books of Moses. It was their Bible at their time, at that time. And he was saying to the people, this written word will save your soul. Now, what is the soul? That's what we have to determine here. We have to realize that you know, there is something about us that is soulish. And when we start operating totally and completely in the soul realm, we're going to get in trouble. That's why the spirit part of it is so important. So what is the soul? Well, first of all, let's talk about a couple of things as we move into this. One of the things that I appreciate about Dr. Leaf is that she helps you to understand your brain and how it works and how it functions with your mind and your soul realm and your spirit. You can put all these things together if you get some of her literature and read that stuff. Now, I know some of the things she talked about was way over all our heads. Unless you are a scientist, and trained in science, you probably, you know, you didn't comprehend everything she said. But I love the way she brings it down to earth for people to be able to understand the connection between our brain, our mind, our spirit, our soul realm. So listen, look. When David wrote this, there was the five books, and Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that this is what fulfills all the law and the prophets. So during Jesus' time, there was not only the law, but there was also the prophets, which is the Old Testament. The Old Testament is, I've always been taught, it's like this. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. In other words, the Old Testament was teaching us about the coming of Christ. The New Testament teaches us about Christ, and it reveals those things in the Old Testament. It's a good way to read and understand the old and the new. It's not, the old covenant was not done away with. We need to understand that. You know, I know that there are those preterists who teach that the old covenant is just done away with. Jewish people and Jewish nation is all behind us. It's all about the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not true. Read your Bible. It's all about God's people all the way through. Jewish people are God's people. Believers in Jesus Christ are God's people. We are to be united. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to believe. All the Jewish people, eventually, someday, they're going to receive Christ as their personal Savior. They're going to come. They're going to be enlightened. But for now, God's dealing with them in this world and dealing with them in a way that will bring them to that place where they receive Christ. This word that we have, the New Testament and Old Testament, was written in a 1,500-year span. It was written by over 40 writers. Every one of them were inspired by God to write it. We have to believe that. You have to believe that this book is inspired. That's what we're told in Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This, everything in here, everything is inspiration from God. It's inspired by Almighty God. If we don't believe this, then it's easy for the enemy to deceive us. Just like he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. He deceived her by saying, well, that's not true. What God said, he said, you'll surely die. Well, not really. Well, yeah, really. We're all dying, right? From the time you are born into this world, you reach a peak, maximum, somewhere around your 20s. Early 20s, you peak out, and then you start downhill. Devin, do you realize you're over the hill? Not right. You're not yet. You're not. That's right. It'll just be a few years, though. That's life. That's the way it is. We're all going to pass from this life. God's promise to Adam was true, and it is true. We've got to believe the things that are written in here because it's true. Things are happening in this world that are confirming this word over and over and over on a consistent basis. The Word of God is being proven to be real. These books in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, are woven together with one thing, and that is all about Christ. The scarlet thread that runs through every book in the Bible is the blood of Jesus and brings us together. Now listen to this. Dr. Nelson Gluck, he was an outstanding Jewish archaeologist of this century. He wrote in his book, Rivers in the Desert, it may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. It's never disproven a biblical reference. Sources of archaeological findings have been made which confirm in clear outline or in exact detail historical statements in the Bible. And by the same token, proper evaluation of biblical descriptions have often led to amazing discoveries. Our world, those who believe in evolution, do not want us to know these things. But the reality is, the Bible is being confirmed over and over and over. It's still alive. It's working. All you got to do, you got to dig a little bit. You're not going to get it on your mainstream media. You got to dig a little bit, but you'll find all kinds of archaeological things that are being discovered that prove what has happened, what is said in the Bible. For centuries, they said the stories about King David were false until one day they were digging and they found an inscription that stated that King David had built this particular city place. You see, the lies that are being perpetrated on the body of Christ and on the reality of the truth of God are overwhelming, but the truth will set you free if you'll seek for it. You'll find it. God's Word is alive. So what is the soul? The Word or the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The soul in Hebrew is nephesh. It means self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being. Desire, emotion, passion. that which breathes, the breathing substance or being, the soul, the inner being of man. So it's the inner part of us. In Job chapter 32, verse 8, it says this, "But there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding." And the word spirit means breath or wind. It's also interpreted mind. What we have in us, in order to understand these things, the difference between the soul and the spirit, you got to go clear back to Genesis. You have to go back to where God created man out of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7. And it says, he breathed into his nostrils the breath or the spirit of life. He spirited into him the spirit of life. Now, here's what we need to realize, that God created this being with a body, with a soul mechanism. And it didn't come to life until he breathed or spirited into it the spirit of life. You are a spirit being. You have a soul, and you live in a body. You're a triune being. This is important Bible principles, because we are created in the image of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are a triune being, just like God is a triune being. And your spirit causes you to be alive. Your spirit gives your soul life. And your soul, connected to the spirit, gives your spirit consciousness. Does that make any sense to anybody? You're alive. Because God has put a spirit in you. You're a spiritual being. That's exciting, because when we start trying to understand everything from a physical or a soulish realm, we will get very confused. But when we understand things from a spiritual perspective, we can begin to see exactly how God is doing things. The spirit and soul will become interconnected with one another to the point that you will never die. If God was to extract your spirit, you wouldn't be any longer. But on the day that you leave this life, hallelujah, we're all going to leave this life. That's why I want you to be prepared. You're going to leave this on the day you leave this life. Your body will no longer have life in it. But you will still be alive. Your spirit and soul are going to go on. You're going to be in the presence of the Lord. He's going to say to you, if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. You're going to be welcomed. But on the other hand, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to continue living as well. And Jesus made it perfectly clear that there is a place. He told the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus went to paradise. This was before Jesus. Lazarus went to a place called paradise, and there was a gulf or a fixture between Lazarus and the rich man. They both died. The rich man was in a place of torment. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom, in a place where he was being cared for and taken care of. Jesus was trying to tell us, listen, you got to make the right choice while you're here. If you want your soul, your spirit and soul to live in eternity with Him. That's our desire. So that's why I'm trying to help you to understand this morning that what the soul realm is all about. Because Jesus wanted us to recognize that we are eternal beings, which is an exciting concept. The spirit and soul is going to live on. The body's going to die. But listen, he also made it perfectly clear. One day, he is going to break open the eastern sky. And when he splits that eastern sky wide open, it says in Thessalonians that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Bodies are going to come out of the grave. Glory. If you're not saved before that, you're going to wish you were. It'll be too late. You're going to look around and see these people coming up out of the grave and floating up. And then the dead, and then those who are alive in Christ and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to that day. It's going to happen. But I want you to understand something. The mind, when we start talking about the soul and the spirit, and then you start thinking about the mind, because the reason I say this about the mind is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Now listen, he didn't say you have the brain of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. What is the mind? Well, I believe the mind is that thing that is created in us when we, the soul and the spirit, are connected with each other. The mind is more than the physical thoughts. It is the brain. The brain has some capacity in there. The brain, that's the reason I love Dr. Leaf's teachings, because the way you think, Word of God is very clear, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Man, the way you think makes a difference. So think right. Think the way you're supposed to think. Stop thinking those negative, no good thoughts. I want you to think about something. Even in the Old Testament, Moses was a great leader, and he was the example in the Old Testament of Christ, the greatest example. Many of them were, but he was the greatest example. He was the prophet of the Old Testament, which the Lord told them that there would be another one even greater than Moses. And he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what happened. The children of Israel were put in bondage. They came to Egypt. Joseph brought them to Egypt to protect them so that they could live and thrive. There was a famine going on. And God used Joseph to speak into the Pharaoh's life and tell him what his dream meant, that there was going to be a famine 7 years, 7 good years, and then a famine 7 years. And in that time frame, he brought all his family to Egypt. And his family flourished there. They had a wonderful land, Goshen, that they lived in. And they lived and flourished until a certain Pharaoh came along and began to think that they might become more powerful than the Egyptians. So they oppressed them and they made them slaves for over 400 years. Let's think about this a little bit. Moses was born. During that period of time, the Pharaoh told the Egyptian nursemaids to kill all the firstborn or the newborn males, because he had heard the prophecies that there was a leader, a prophet coming. So they for the most part, some of them were killed, but not all of them. But here's what I want you to understand what happened. Moses' mother took Moses, of course, he put him in the bulrush, and he went downstream, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And he was brought into the household of Egypt. Now, first of all, it was to save his life. Okay. I'm trying to connect us here with what I'm talking about. Save his life. You see, when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved from hell. That's awesome. I'm glad. I want that to happen to every person sitting here, every person out there. I want people to come into the kingdom. But there's more to it than that. Not only was Moses saved from death, Moses was saved from slavery and the slave mentality that his whole generation of Israelites, generation after generation after generation, had grown up with. God had a bigger purpose than saving his life. He didn't have to put him in there with the Egyptians to save his life, because there was others that were born during that time, and the nursemaids just turned their heads and they let it happen. God put him in the household of Egypt to get the slave mentality out of him so that he would not be a slave when it comes to his thinking. What did Moses think about life? He thought he was a conqueror. He thought he was a warrior. He thought he could overcome. Why? Because he grew up in the Pharaoh's household. You're not getting this, are you? You're not understanding what God wants to do in your life. He not only wants to save your soul, he wants to, through the law of the Lord, or the word of God, he wants to He not only wants to save your spirit and save you for eternity, he wants to save your soul so you can do a work for the kingdom here, now. You've got to get away from the slave mentality. Many of us in the body of Christ have a slave mentality, and we have to move away from that. We have to recognize that we've been created for greater, bigger, more incredible things than we can even imagine. We have to move forward. I grew up in church. And it was, they were good churches. They taught the Word of God. But I can tell you this, some of the things that I remember, they had the slave mentality. They had this mentality that, you know, church was separate from secular life. And if you did church, you just served God, you worked for the man, you took care of your family, you came to church regularly, that's all you needed to do. But that's not the teaching of the Word of God. Let me tell you what God wants. He wants success in your life. And the reason he wants you to be successful is so that you can touch the lives of other people. And I'm not talking about big house, big car, big bank account. That's what everybody thinks about when they think about success. I'm talking about storming the gates of hell for Jesus Christ. But in order to do that, guess what? We have to have marketplace mentality. We have to say, hey, praise God for this man right here and his wife. When they first started coming to this church, I don't know how to put this, but things were not good. Amen? Amen. Okay. So I'm not telling anything that they would not tell. God got a hold of them. Jesus changed their life. He not only changed their life, but through the Word of God and through getting away from the slave mentality that they had, they have begun to prosper in everything that they do. I mean, Siva has furthered her education, and she's working in her field. She's moving up in that area. Praise God. Billy is about to go to Vegas. Now, he's not going there to gamble. He's about to go to Vegas to be trained to be a teacher of scaffolding, okay, so that he can train other carpenters to know how to put up scaffolding properly. Now, I'm using them as an example because I want you to understand they could have stayed in their slave mentality. They could have wallowed in the things that the difficulties, and he could have blamed her and she could have blamed him, and they wouldn't have been married probably. But they made a choice. And their choice was, number one, receive Christ as their personal Savior. Number two, let God save their soul realm, their mind, their will, their emotions, to change the way they're thinking about things. Praise God. And I grew up in a Christian church But one of the things that I saw in this church was anybody who endeavored to be successful outside of the church were looked down upon. I didn't understand it. Why? Because they had a messed up thinking about the gospel. The gospel was just in the four walls. No, the gospel is out there. The work is out there. Wherever you go in your workplace, God is using you. You may not be a people person. Maybe you don't talk a lot to people, but God's using you as an example to touch other people's lives. And if you will allow Him, He'll give you the opportunity to speak into somebody's life on a regular basis. That's marketplace mentality when it comes to the gospel. It's more than what we're doing here. I'm stirring you up this morning. I want you to come alive in Jesus Christ. Because I want you to understand that when we walk out these doors, there's things to be done. There's people to be touched. There's lives to be changed. But it begins with the saving of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions changed. I thank God that many years ago, is there anybody in here who was in Amway? Ever been in Amway? You know what Amway is? Okay, a few have been. Some people are reluctant to raise their hands. Yeah, I was. Look, when we just got saved, just really early on in our salvation, and we were approached with Amway, and we started getting involved with Amway. And one of the things that happened with the Amway business was I was exposed to some things that changed my way of thinking. I was exposed to books like The Magic of Thinking Big, How to Win Friends and Influence People, other really powerful books that helped change the way I thought about myself and about other people. But more importantly, I got around some believers in Jesus Christ, because there was a lot of believers in Amway. I got around some believers who believed that God had called them to do a great work for the kingdom of God. And somewhere along the line, we moved from Meigs County, went to Athens, and we started watching every month. We were involved with satellite ministry, where we had these nationwide ministers that were streamed into the church. And I was exposed to people like T.L. Osborne and Kenneth Hagin and think of some of the other ones. Tammy, can you think of them? Hilton Sutton. These guys, those names probably don't mean anything to some of you, but they meant something to me. Because these were men that were building the kingdom of God in this earth, and they were not afraid to step outside of the boundaries that the church had set up to do a work for God. And when being exposed to people like that changed my thinking. It changed my life. It changed me to the point that I could be here today standing in front of you. Overcome my fear. Overcome the world and the things that the world would say about us. The reason we stand in this building is because of God Almighty. But, I want you to understand. Because I believed. You believe. Those who are here are part. Believed that this was God's will. It's not going to happen unless we can believe it. When we get out, when we start get rid of this thinking that God's not going to work on our behalf for whatever reason, because, you know, your mom didn't breastfeed you or whatever it is, I don't care. Boy, you guys are a tough crowd. You start realizing that it doesn't matter what happened in your past. It's about what happens in your now and future. It's what God wants to do in you, through you, and with you.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.